April 8th, 2024, we're in Masechet Bava Kama on Daf Kaf Gimal Amud Bet. If you count from the top of the Amud down, it's 10 lines down, 3 words onto the line, where it says Tafshin Tashema. And if you recall, the Gemara had finished off with a conversation about whether the pi para, whether the mouth of the cow as it's eating, as it's damaging through its eating, is considered reshut hamazik or not. In other words, do we understand that now that the item which it's chewing and eating is in its mouth, and maybe that's the domain of the owner of the cow, and there's not going to be liabilities under most circumstances, because the only time that you're going to say to me that I have to pay to you is if my animal ate from your property. But if the item is in my property, in my animal's mouth, maybe I should be exempt. Of course, the ramifications of this would be far-reaching and scary. It would mean that under many circumstances, not all, as we discussed in Tosafot, there would be an exemption. Says the Gemara, Tashema, let's try to bring some proofs and evidence for such a notion that pi para is kireshut hamazik dame, that we consider the mouth of the animal as it picks up, or rather, when something's placed in the mouth of the animal, it's the property of the owner of the animal. And as a result, again, I can say to you, what was your item doing on my property? I'm going to be exempt. Tashema, listen to the proof from the Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin. Over there, the following first of two statements is said. Shisabo et hakelev, shisabo et hanahash. If a person caused a dog or a snake to go after another individual, and hurt them and damage them, under such circumstances, patur. Again, shisa, how do they translate it? Charm? Yeah. You're so far behind, you know. Shisa, I believe, is to charm. You incited, great. You incited, right, to charm is to get it down from it. Incited the animal, the snake, to go after a person, or the dog to go after a person, under such circumstances, patur. Who's patur? Someone else's snake, someone else's dog. In such a circumstance, patur. Says the Gemara, man patur. Who would be exempt under such circumstances? On the one hand, mishase patur. We can definitively say that the person who incited the snake or the dog would be exempt. Why is he or she exempt? Rashi explains to us, based on the Gemara later on, Daf Samech, that the principle is that gerama benizikin patur, that if it's an indirect damage which was caused by me, I'm exempt. The Gemara will derive that from Pesukim, and in turn, that's the concept over here. Go ahead. I'll tell you why, because now the Gemara says Baal Hakelev v'Hayav Baal Hakelev, right? In other words, the Gemara, it could be it's my dog, but if we were to argue that it's me doing it with someone else's dog, for argument's sake, I would be exempt, says the Gemara. It's indirect. The owner of the dog would be liable. That's what the Gemara is saying. That's the way we're breaking this up.
Maybe you know the other person's dog would actually fall through. The owner wouldn't know. You don't know your dog. You don't know the other person's dog.
Okay, again, ultimately speaking, I incited your dog, I had it go after someone else. I'm going to be exempt, Gerama. You will be liable because, ultimately speaking, it's your dog which did the damage. Wait a second, says the Gemara. Vi amarta ki haser hamazik dame. If you're going to argue that the mouth of the animal, of the cow, of the dog, of the snake, is kahaser hamazik dame, it's like the owner, Jesse, your dog, your snake, it's on your property, you should be able to say under such circumstances, Harari, you're very annoying that you incited my dog or my snake, but person who got damaged, I'm very sorry, but I'm not going to be liable. Why am I not going to be liable? Because, lema le, you should say to them, mai ba'e yadach bepumeh de kalbai, mai ba'e matzarich, what do you need? Yadach, your hand, bepumeh, in the mouth of the kalbai, of my dog. You say to that person, say, what was your hand doing in my dog's mouth? In other words, put it in a sentence again, since the mouth of your dog is hasir hamazik, it's the property of the person who's damaging, you say it's no different than you walked onto my property. You walked onto my property and my dog attacked you. You're not going to make me liable. Shouldn't have been on my property. Your hand ended up in my dog's mouth. Oh, that's not my problem. That's your problem. Tosafot at the top of the Amud does point out that we need to argue that it's not that the dog dragged the hand into its mouth, the snake dragged the leg into its mouth. It's rather that the person who was inciting took the hand and put it in the mouth of the dog. Because if the dog itself did that, well then imagine you're out on the public area, my dog jumps over the gate, grabs you and brings you on, and I say, well, I'm exempt. I'm not exempt. Under such circumstances, you didn't step onto my property. I brought you onto my property. But that being the case, the Gemara thinks that it found evidence that the mouth of a dog, the mouth of an animal, is not the property of the owner. Again, if it were to be the property of the owner, we shouldn't have a liability with regards to the owner of this dog, of this snake, when it damaged another person. The person should be able to, the owner of that snake or dog, should be able to sufficiently claim, your hand, what's it doing in the mouth of my animal? What are you doing on my property? That's what the Gemara claims. Says the Gemara again, so if you're to tell me the mouth of my animal is like my property, I should be able to say to you who got damaged, my ba'ei yadach bepume de kalbe. Says the Gemara, ema patur af mishase. Indeed, answers the Gemara. So we think we have a proof that the mouth is the property not of the owner, but rather of the nizak. In other words, if my animal attacks you, I'm going to be liable. Answers the Gemara, Ema, you should say that in this Mishnah, when the Mishnah says patur, it doesn't only mean the insider is patur, it means as well the owner of the dog is patur. Ema af mishase patur. Not only the insider, but also the owner of the dog. To summarize it one more time. The circumstances, I'm the insider, Jesse has the dog, and there's a person out on the street. I walk up to Jesse's dog, I bring that person up to it, and I stick the hand into the mouth of Jesse's dog, and Jesse's dog bites it. Under such a circumstance, I'm exempt. Why am I exempt? Gerama. I didn't do anything directly. That's the way it works. Jesse, it appeared to us, would be a high... What's that? I grabbed the hand and I shoved it in. I didn't do the damage. I only set up the damage.
Didn't bite.
I didn't do the biting. No, no, because the trigger on the gun, the dog might not bite. That was the dog's own brain power that caused that. When I shoot a bullet, there's no brain power in that bullet. I directly affected it. What's that? Okay, but if it does, it was. And if I punch at someone, I also might not hit. But ultimately speaking, if it does, it was a direct extension of me. Jesse, and this was the key over here, we believed would be Hayav. Why would he be Hayav? Shouldn't he be able to say, my animal, my property, your item on my property? Clearly, we're not claiming that his animal is his property. The Gemara says, no, maybe Jesse's also exempt. Scary thought. Now, I should, for Jeffrey's insecurities on this, point out that even if Gerama ben Izikin is patur, we accept, from several statements of the rabbis, Hayav ben Dinei Shamayim. You still need to deal with heavenly court. And you have to deal with, it's just that we can't grab that money from you, but you still have responsibilities with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Second answer of the Gemara, V'i ba'itema. I have a different explanation to why maybe Jesse is liable, even though, generally speaking, the mouth of his animal is his own property. De'apke l'nibe v'sarte. Apke, we know that word from nafka mina. Nafik means to go out. Apke means it took out. Nibe means its teeth. Visarte means and it scratched. In other words, the circumstance was not that I took the hand and I stuck it into or it entered into Jesse's dog's mouth. If that were the case, indeed, his dog's mouth is his property. Over here, there was nothing on his property. It was the teeth externally scratched it. We found a clever way of avoiding. What's that? No, the insider is always patur. The insider is always patur. It's gerama. It's gerama. Says the Gemara Tashima, I still think you could bring proof, evidence from the next words in that same Mishnah in Masechet Sanhedrin. Here's what it says over there. Hishich bo et hanachash. You didn't incite, but you literally took the snake, opened the snake's mouth, put it, clamped it down onto the person out on the street's arm, and by so doing either hurt or killed them. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev hachamim potrim. We're going to be dealing with killing. Rabbi Yehuda says, you're hayav mita. It's no different, and we'll understand why in a moment, than shooting them, stabbing them. Chachamim, for some reason or another, say patur. They imagine this as well as gerama, indirect. Says the Gemara, ve'amar avahabar Yaakov, and avahabar Yaakov, analyzing, taking in these two opinions, explained, keshetimse lomar lidivrei Rabbi Yehuda, eres nahash ben shinav hu omed, lefichach makish besayif, ve'nahash patur. So the explanation that avahabar Yaakov gave goes as follows. There's a dispute in terms of the nature of snakes and poison. According to the Biuda, the snake's poison is always found in a gland or something of that sort in between its teeth. Therefore, when I take the mouth of the snake and I clamp it down on someone else, I inject the poison directly. And therefore, I'm hayav mita, because the snake was no different than my bullet. What about this, or my sword, or my arrow? What about the snake itself? The snake is patur. You're not putting to death an arrow or a gun. You leave the arrow and the gun, and we say that the snake is not liable for anything. I am. Those are the words in the Gemara. Lidivrei Rabbi Yehuda, eres nahash. Eres means the poison of the snake, of course, nahash. Ben shinav hu omed. It stands, it's situated in between its teeth. Lefichach, therefore, makish, when you clamped the mouth down, of the snake onto a person, besaif, I get put to death. The person who does so by saif, that's mitat herig, we call it on Kippur. That's the obligation or the punishment of a person who kills another. The nahash patur, but the nahash itself doesn't get put to death. That's so far, well, not good, but understandable. Lidivrei hachamim, what about according to the hachamim who disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda? We're talking about when you clamp down the snake onto someone's arm. Hachamim, they said patur, eres nahash me'atzmo maki. The snake's poison, me'atzmo maki. Maki means to spit out. It needs to trigger something in its brain in order to bring forth that poison. The poison is not just there in between its teeth so that when I clamp it down, I'm injecting the poison or shooting a gun into the person. I'm rather setting into motion, clamping it down. There's a step removed over here until the snake, with its own small brain, decides it wants to inject it with poison. Lefichach nahash biskila umakish patur. Therefore, we'll go backwards. The person who clamps down is patur. He's exempt. Bidine adam. Why doesn't he get put to death? Gerama. I didn't do anything directly. I know it's hard to be sit comfortably with this. We would incarcerate him. We would tell him he's hayab bidine shamayim and so forth. But we can't put him to death. And the nahash, the snake itself, gets put to death biskila. Rashi explains over here that the reason is the Torah says if an ox kills a person, the shor, the ox, gets put to death by being stoned. Diber hakatub bahove. Pasuk is just talking about a common case. Any animal who kills any person gets put to death biskila.
No, not in terms of
if you kill, you're thinking about damage. Killing immediately. They're arguing about what's called misiyut, reality. Yes. Says the Gemara, well, now that's the case. Now that we understand and accepted that fundamentally they agree, they're just disagreeing about the reality. The I amarta, pi para kehaser hamazik dameh. If you're to argue that the mouth of the snake, the mouth of the cow, the mouth of the dog is the property of its owner, lemale, shouldn't the owner of that snake be able to say, "Mai ba'e yadach bepuma dehivai? Why is it that your hand was in the mouth of my serpent?" In other words, we're commenting on the opinion of Hachamim. According to the Hachamim, that the snake and the snake owner loses his snake. The snake is getting killed. Why is the snake getting killed? Because the snake, with its own small brain, injected that poison. Well, he should be able to. He's not going to be able to. The owner should be able to say, "What do you mean? You're going to put my snake to death? What was your hand doing in the mouth of my snake?" That's the Gemara's question. It seems clear that we're assuming the inside of a snake's mouth is considered not the property of the snake owner. It's rather hatzer hanizak. It's rather the place of, you know, so to speak, the person who's getting killed or damaged. That's the suggestion of the Gemara. Let's summarize this one more time. So the Gemara is now focusing. It doesn't matter over here because we're not dealing with shin. Over here we're dealing with kerim. This is kavanatol lahazik. There's no hana'ah in this. So it could be bershut harabim. It's only a question of making him exempt because it's b'chaser hamazik. In other words, even keren, even though keren is hayav in reshut rabim, if you bring your stuff or you bring yourself onto my property and my animal attacks you, then I'm exempt. So it doesn't matter exactly where we are. If ultimately speaking, the mouth of the snake, it's a great question, the mouth of the snake is considered k'hatser hamazik.
This is murder and you're allowing.
We're not allowing it. It's worthwhile that you and I learn Ramban Nachmani's commentary to the Torah right there, in which there is a debate in his mind, halachically speaking, between the brothers, one with the other, about these halachot of Gerama ben Ezekin and Gerama ben Mita in that fashion. It's not that they're okay. It's not that they're okay. The Hayav B'dinei Shamayim. And in terms of jurisdiction, in terms of law and order, we would incarcerate. We would put them in jail. We wouldn't put to death. Yeah.
Why is the owner going after the victim and not the insider?
Because the insider is indirect. You bother just as much, if maybe a little less, than Jeffrey. Jeffrey says, ultimately speaking, the insider did it. We have to listen to the recordings of Sanhedrin over there and ask, I'm sure you were the same types of questions. Everyone's bothered because it's hard to wrap our head around. Here's the irony. When it comes to Shabbat, hang tight. When it comes to Shabbat, everybody smiles and accepts Gerama quickly. And when rabbis are stringent on Gerama, so what do you mean? It's indirect. When it comes to death, I mean, okay, there is a difference. But still, I'm just saying that's the, okay. So we'll have to get to Daf Samech. Maybe we'll argue about it a little bit more over there, but that's the law. The law is if it's indirect, we don't have the power in this world to put the person to death. Oh, sure, you're always going to have that sort of question. In Sanhedrin, we talked about Grama and Garmi and things of that sort. But yeah, okay, over here, it's a question. Over here, they're not debating what's indirect. They're debating the reality, right? Is the poison there and it's direct? Or is the poison not there and it's indirect? If Hachamim had the reality of Rabbi Yehuda, they would say Hayav. If Rabbi Yehuda had the reality of Hachamim, they'd say Patur, right? It's just about reality. Yeah, they're not disagreeing. I mean, is it a big issue for you? Are you snake involved with snakes?
I'm with Jeffrey then.
No, it's not going to help you. Hachamim and Biuda are not debating the laws of Girama. They're only debating the laws of a snake and its poison. So you want Biuda anyway, but it, fundamentally it won't help you. Anyway, says the Gemara, again, so I think I have a proof, says the Gemara, that pi hanahash is not kehaser hamazik. It's not like the property of the snake owner, because if it were to be like the property of the snake owner, I could be able to say, what's your hand doing in my snake's mouth? And I would be, as the snake owner, patur. That's the suggestion of the Gemara. Tosafot does point out, the Gemara could again give the same type of answer it gave earlier. The answer we gave earlier was that the second answer, the teeth came out, so it never even went in. Doesn't really sound like that from the Lashon. When we're talking about the poison, when we're talking about makish, it sounds like you clamped it down, you put it inside.
Wasn't in the mouth portion,
right?
Or
and since the fangs of the snake scratched it, as opposed to the hand going inside. That was a mage, of course. In other words, if you say to me that you were walking on the street and my dog extended its paws and scratched you, that's very different than you were walking on my property and you got hurt, right? In other words, one is external and it knocked you and whatever, and said you're not on my property. The other one is you're on my property, so it's a difference. If you're saying the inside of the mouth is my property, it's different than the fangs, which are...
The inside of your property, anything that's on your property, inside your property, is your property.
But that's what I said to you. But my dog took its paws off of my property as you were coming by and scratched you. I could say I'm exempt because my dog was on my property. No, so it's the same thing. The teeth were outside of my property. Inside the mouth of the snake is my property. Outside, it's not my property. And as a result, I'm more liable. I can't say to you, what were you doing on my property? You weren't on my property. Regardless, says the Gemara now, so if that's the case, we think we have a proof from this Sefer, no?
I don't understand. Say it's the inside of the guy's mouth, it's his property anyways, and the teeth come out. He's saying because it's past the lips, it's not his property.
But why is that not the same as the case I keep giving you? My dog extends its paw. This is my property. You're walking by over here, my dog extends its paw. I say, I'm sorry, I'm exempt. Why exempt, Harari? Because my dog was on my property. You say, but it extended its paw off of your property. That's not fair. I was walking in the public area.
There's a difference.
Is there? Land. That's right. Okay. I'll make that claim, but your counterclaim will be don't protect it. Anyway, says the Gemara.
If I walk on your property, I'm
talking. Of course you're patur. That's what we're talking about. If it's in the mouth of my snake and the snake is my property, then I'm exempt. You walk onto my property, you have no right to be here. That's the mahloket. That's what we're uncertain about. Is pinahash kehatzer hamazik or kehatzer hanizak? Is the mouth of the snake as if it's my property or is it your property?
Is it because the snake has the ability to inject poison and not?
In which respect? About whose property it is? No, because we're saying this about the cow and we're saying this about the dog. We just want to know the inside of the mouth, whose property is it? Is it really my property? In which case I should be able to exempt myself. Now again, you're not really, as Tosafot pointed out, it's not really as far-reaching as you believe. Because provided that it picked it up, that already helps in terms of liabilities. It's only if the item was placed inside the mouth without the animal picking it up itself. All right, anyway, says the Gemara, le'inyan ketala, everyone I think will very much resonate, this line will resonate with you, le'inyan ketala la'amrinan. Says the Gemara, listen, even if I grant you that pi nahash is kahatzer hamazik, even if I grant you that the inside of the mouth of the serpent, of the snake, is like my property, I'm the owner of it. Nonetheless, if my animal, my snake, ultimately speaking, lo aleinu, kills a person, you kill my snake. What do you mean? Says the Gemara, that's right. Even if I step onto, not I, if someone steps onto your property and your animal attacks them and kills them and you say, ha, I'm off the hook, you came onto my property. You're right, you're not paying anything, but your animal's getting put to death. Why is my animal getting put to death? I'm not liable. It's what's called it's what's called something dangerous. Something dangerous out, irrespective of the context or the ownership. We put that, you know, it's a reminiscent of these ridiculous cases from time to time you hear about, at least I do on the radio. Someone was in a Yellowstone National Park and they get out of their car, Tembel, and they get out of their car and they walk up to the bison and the bison attacks them and we put the bison to death. Are you curious? Why are we putting the bison to death? That's right, we're not making the owner liable, the owner of the bison liable, but we are saying the bison is dangerous, we have to put it to death. So it's the same thing here in the Gemara. Says the Gemara, it's true, the owner might not be liable because pi nahash kehatzer hamazik dameh, because the inside of the mouth is my property, but my animal still gets put to death. What's that?
They're always dangerous.
Always dangerous to the extent that they'll kill? To the extent that they'll kill?
I see a snake now. I'm not interested in the snake's ways.
But he's right. In the federal space, if you fall in the gorilla cage and the gorilla kills you, they kill the gorilla.
Nathan says, so then you shouldn't be able to own it. Don't forget, ha-megadil, you're not allowed to be megadil kelef ra betoch beto. I imagine, and we talked about whether you could have a nahash or not. You're right. If it's objectively a dangerous killing animal and can't be trained, you can't own it and it should be put to death. It has to be that there are snakes of some sort which can be trained to the extent that they wouldn't damage. Once it does kill, you then put it to death. Says the Gemara, Umina Temra.
How then the owner would be liable for negligence, but not taking care.
Again, we ultimately speaking are not necessarily making the owner liable. Right? That's Uminat Temra, says the Gemara. And how do you know to that this is the claim? In other words, that even if the owner is not liable, even though the owner is not paying, even though the owner is not responsible, nonetheless we put its animal to death. Ditanya, listen to the case brought up in the Beraita. Hanichnas lahasar ba'al habayit shelo birshut. What if a person in a silly decision goes into the property of someone else shelo birshut without permission? V'negaho shoro shel ba'al habayit. So I walk onto your barn, barn land, and your bull attacks me. Umet. And lo aleinu, the person who does so, dies. So you say, what do you mean? What were you doing on my property? I'm not liable. Indeed, you're not liable. But what about your shor? Hashor biskilau be'alim turin min ha-kofir. The owner doesn't need to pay anything. This is a responsibility. When your animal kills someone else, it's called kofir in order to achieve atonement. You don't need to do that over here. One second. You don't need to do that over here because it came onto your property. You're not hayav kofir if it was on your property. Nonetheless, the animal gets put to death. It's a dangerous animal. I mean, it's on my. Why does it need to be tethered and secured? It's my property.
Because it's dangerous. Its natural way is to be dangerous.
I understand. So that if its natural way is to be dangerous, then I'm not allowed to have it, and we need to kill it.
Really?
That's the statement in the Gemara. A shor is supposed to be somewhat tame, even though I will be exempt when you came onto my property. Nonetheless, we put the shor to death because it proved to us that it is not tame. That's the statement here in the Gemara. Be'alim pturim min hakofer ma'ita'ama. Why do you say that the owner, when the person walked onto their land, is exempt from paying that monetary obligation called kofer? De'amar le bershuti ma'ba'it. Because the claim is, they say, what were you doing on my property? My bayit masarich. What do you mean on my property? You came onto my property. I mean, obviously, they're talking to the relatives. This person passed away. What was your relative doing on my property? Sholoname lemale, my bayit birshuti. Why can't they make the same claim about their shor, about their animal? My animal is not getting put to death. What were you doing on my property? Ela clearly says the Gemara le'inyan ketala la amrinan. When it comes to putting to death the animal, which is dangerous and a threat to society, we don't say so. There's no exemptions. We put the animal to death immediately. That's what we have thus far in the Gemara. This final segment of the Gemara, I might entitle Nathan Shalom's Gemara. This final segment of the Gemara, we'll deal with what's the halacha, well, we'll see in a moment, with regards to putting up a gate on my property. Nathan, throughout, I must repeat, throughout our limud has made the fault. No, but he's been consistent with it. Everyone's got their consistent Rabbeinu Tam, and you know, has consistency, so on and so forth. But he's made the claim throughout. We'll talk about one or two examples as it arises in this next quick sugya. Why should the person who gets damaged by someone else's animal be liable if the, or better yet, if my animal wanders onto your animal, your property, which was not ingated, which was not enclosed, why should I be liable? Shouldn't that be your responsibility to enclose it and so forth? In other words, he's made the claim throughout, negligence is two-sided. It's too easy to say the damager is the one who's liable if we're not taking into account, well, what did the damaged or the damager, based on the circumstance, what sort of safeguards did they play put into motion?
Lot's claim was no, there's nobody, it's everybody else.
That wasn't Lot's claim. Read the Rashi again. Lot's claim was this land will be ours, so it's ours from now. It's not that they didn't put up gates. But I would like it if it was that. That would be fun. Anyway, says the Gemara, Hanahu, if I remember correctly, Hanahu Izeh, there were these goats. Debet Tarbu, Rashi says, Shem Mishpacha, in the family name, Tarbu. So there were goats of the family named Tarbu, dehavu mafsedele le Rav Yosef. They were diminishing, or they were damaging the property of Rav Yosef. They were wandering around and eating from the property of Rav Yosef. Of course, Rav Yosef is very disturbed. Well, what are these goats doing on my property? Amar le Abaye, Rav Yosef turns to his student Abaye and says to him, Zil, go, ema lehu le marayu. Go and tell the family, the marayu means the owner, go tell the owners, the Tarbu family, de letzne'inu. Tell them that they need to close up those, they need to seclude those goats. Those goats are a problem. I'm going to make them liable to pay if they don't get them out of the way. Amar le responds Abayetim, and again, so far that claim Nathan should not be happy with. I mean, unless we, how'd they get onto your property, Rav Yosef? I don't know. They walked on. How'd they walk on? Just take it. Amar le Abaye responds to Rav Yosef, his rabbi, and says to him, am I ezil? Why should I go? Di'i azilna, because if I go, Amre li, they'll say to me, Ligdor mor, geder means a gate, gedera be'areh. They'll say to me, through me, to you, my master Rav Yosef, they'll say you should put a gate. It's not on us, it's equally on you. This is the back and forth between the student Abaye and his rabbi Rav Yosef. That's to a certain extent, I mean, the Gemara continues, but that's the back and forth, and we don't have a response of Rav Yosef. Is this a winning claim of Abaye? Does the Nathan Shalom claim hold up? In other words, is he right? Is Abaye right that if you don't gate your field, that under those circumstances, even if someone else's animal comes on and eats from it, you can't claim and collect? Tosafot on the right hand side points out, Tosafot dibur hamatchil. So that's the third one on the Amud, or the fourth one on the Amud. Tosafot says the following, Haya nishmat Abaye. Abaye was trying to avoid. Shelo haya hafetz lelech lesham. Abaye's claim, suggests Tosafot, was not a strong and true halakha claim. He just didn't want to get involved. He was non-confrontational. In other words, before we continue with their proofs, the claim of Tosafot is that Rav Yosef was right. Even if I don't have those gates on my property, I still can and will make you liable for the damage you did to me. What's the proof? Dehatinan, the very Mishnah with which we had a conversation with Nathan, the Mishnah in Daf Yotet says, Achela mitocha hanut mishalemet. If the animal ate from inside the store, well, the owner of the animal pays. Why should the owner of the animal pay? Shouldn't the owner of the animal be able to say, what was your shop doing open? Why was the door open? That's not on me. Why do you have the goods out like that? Ve'lo amrinan lo hayalo lin'ol hanuto. We don't say in defense of the animal owner who ate from the goods of the shop owner, why wasn't your door locked? Ve'chen, and so too, we had in the Mishnah, achela mitzideh harehava. If it ate from the sides of the street, I set up my shop on the side of the street. If we, and the Mishnah did, consider that my property, your animal walks by and eats from it. You should be able to say, what are you leaving your goods out like that? And furthermore, in our case, we're not going too much back to it, Alan, of the dog, why don't we say that the dog owner should be patur from the coal which caused that damage? Why don't we say the coal owner should have been more particular about safeguarding it? Therefore, says Tosafot, Rav Alfas, of course that's Rif, Pasak Kerav Yosef, Veletel Da'abaye, Deduhuya Be'almahu. As a result, Rif, in the back of the Gemara, brings the opinion of Rav Yosef that if there are these goats which are coming onto your property, the goats which come onto your property, goat owner needs to pay, even though you don't have a gate. That's the statement here in this Tosafot. If you'll take a look at the right-hand side of the Amud, you see those small letters, Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel, if you'll look in it, my Gemara, I believe, is different than yours, so we'll have to just find the right line. Do you see where it says, Hanahu Izeh? Jesse, you have the same one as mine. It's maybe 10 lines from the bottom. Does everyone else see it? Okay, if not, listen along. Hanahu Izeh. So Rabbeinu Hananel, his method in commenting on the Gemara is he cites the Gemara and then he talks. So Hanahu Izeh, Debet Tarbu. So that's the case in our Gemara that were those goats. Dahavu mafsede l'Rabbi Yosef, or l'Rav Yosef, v'amar le'abaye zil atzni'inu, kilomar. In other words, send the message, hizaher leba'alehin, warn the owners of these goats, kilomar, hizaher leba'alehin shishmiru otan, veheshivo Abaye. Abaye responded to him, yomru deba'alehin, the owner of the goats will say, yigdor geder lesadehu, veheshiv Rav Yosef, im kol hasadot geduroten, hay dichtivu bi'ir b'steacher hechi mishkachat. Okay, so that's onward in the Gemara. Upirek Abaye, don't worry about this for a moment. B'shechatra ha-behema ha-gedor, o-nafal ha-gedor ba-layla, v'nechisa ha-behema ve-achla, ki ha-gavna ha-shen ha-yevet, b'sada she-ena gedor, and so on and so forth. Now, the end of this third to last line says, ha-de-abaye, ve-amedah, ha-de-abaye, ve-la-ifricha. Says Rabbeinu Hananel, those are the key words. Ve'ameda, it stood strong, stood up. The counterclaim of Abaye, ve'la ifricha, it was not disproven, it was not knocked out. Which means to say, in terms of pesak halacha already, a few more lines to this small sugya in the Gemara, there's a machloket harishonim, a dispute amongst the medieval authorities about who's right on this matter. Rav Yosef, that doesn't matter whether I have a gate or not. Or Abaye, if you don't have a gate, you can't make claims against the person. On this page, which I gave out, you have Rosh. Rosh, of course, a commentator in the back of the Gemara, Rabbeinu Asher ben Yechiel, in Siman Yod, if you'll take a look in Siman Yod, where the lines get wide, and Jesse could find in the back of the Gemara, Perek Bet Siman Yod, it says at the first wide line, it says at the end of it, V'chen pasak Rav Alfas, Zal deletal ad Abaye, right? So Rav Alfasi Rif said, Abaye, remember Abaye's claim, if you don't have gates, well then you can't make them liable. According to Rav Alfasi, that's not a winning claim. In other words, the Nathan claim, not a winning claim. Nathan's person is, Umatzati katu b'shem Rabbeinu Hananel, de pasak halacha ke'abaye. Nathan has the Rabbeinu Hananel. Everyone else, or anyone else, has Rif. Umode Abaye, here's the Hidush of Rosh, de be'ir im nechnesa lechaser hanizak, ve'achela shehayevet, she'en adam yachol lin'ol dalte beto kol hayom. Rosh necessarily, based on the Gemara in the continued lines, continues and says, even if Abaye, quote, is right, even if we're posek halacha like Abaye, that if you don't have the gates around your property, you can't make claims against the person who came in or their property came on and damaged it. Nonetheless, that would only be if you're out in the countryside. Out in the countryside, okay, you need the gates. I'm in the city. I open my door all the time. You need me to have my door locked. And I need you buzz in and you have an appointment for entering into my shop or my property, in front of my property. And my son left in the morning. And he left the gate open. And therefore, I'm going to be liable. And I'm not going to be able to make you for bringing your dog on pay. Absolutely not. Says Rosh, even according to the opinion of Abaye, even according to the Nathan claim that if you don't have the gates, that's your pishya, that's your negligence, and you can't make the person liable, that's if you're talking on the countryside, in the sadeh. If you're in the ir, if you're in the city, under such circumstances, you can and should say, hey, you can't expect me to have my gates locked and my doors closed at all times. Okay, we'll continue and finish this Gemara tomorrow. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.